Okay, some kind of introduction first. This afternoon after some meditation, I was thinking like, what should I say tonight? And a few things came together for me, which fits my life right now, and it's probably a nice reminder for everybody what I'm going to do. What I wish to do tonight is, first of all, I'm going to reveal a secret which has been kept secret for 2 years. I'm also going to prove 100% that I'm a good monk. I'm going to read out a story, quite fun, one of the funniest stories I know. Then, from that story, going to a meditation, which I'm going to try to focus most on those things which mostly are forgotten by at least Western meditators. I've been meditating for 9 years now, and for many, many years I didn't do the most important part of it. I was too mechanical. So I'm going to try to do a guided meditation in kind of three phases, and to see how that works out. I think that'll be good. And then afterwards, when that is done, basically I just want to open up, instead of me saying, kind of preparing a talk, I'm kind of getting skilled enough to be able to answer questions more or less as they come. So I want to, during this first part, if there are any question you have which you want me to talk about, the last part, then please put that in your memory and then ask me afterwards. And then we can have like a bit informal, a bit back and forth Q&A. I have lots of things to say.
Good.
I've been reading a lot and I've been really trying. I read my best for 9 years up there. So I have both been studying and meditating, and I've had a really good teacher. So the last part will be partly up to you, and then we'll see what happens. That was also what I did when I went to university. I just had some ideas what to say, and then it ended up really well. Mm-hmm. They were really happy with what I said. And so the beginning part here, which in regards to the secret, which has been kept secret for 2 years. I'm going to... 2 years ago, I was here. Then that was after 7 years. And after 7 years up there, you normally start to teach a bit. You have to go leave the monastery and try to express everything you learned and learn other people to meditate and give some good teachings. And I was sent here 2 years ago. I think I had one session here 2 years ago. And after that, the abbot in our monastery said, "No way, you're not going there again." Because I was going to start to teach the monks instead of. So I've been, instead of coming here the last 2 years, I've been teaching the monks every Tuesday for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And but now I'm done with that. So now I'm back here. And one of the things I did 2 years ago, you maybe remember that, was I brought a bunch of paper and some pens, and I gave everybody a piece of paper, and I asked everybody to write down, why are you here? Like, what's your motivation? Why on earth are you coming here, sitting here, kind of watching your mind and listening to a Buddhist monk? Why? And I think I told you to flip the paper, and then I don't remember anymore what I did. And I went back afterwards, the day after, and I had like 50 pieces of paper, and I read through it. And I said, why are you here? And everybody wrote just one or two keywords, and I summarized that. And it was so easy to do. It was extremely easy to summarize why you're here into 2 words. And that's the secret. I'm going to tell you why you are here. And then what I will do, to keep the excitement as long as possible, I'm going to read you out a fun story, which is kind of linked very nicely to my secret. And also, the story will also reveal why I'm a good monkey. Most of you have probably heard this story, but it kind of fits so well into this my ideas what to do today, that I'm just going to read out a short story. Let's see where I can find it here. I have my text collection here on the tablet, Kindle stuff. Here we go. It's not that long, but I really like this story. This is about a nun, a Buddhist nun who is being a good nun, living by herself in seclusion and living in a cave. And I'm just going to read out. You probably read this before. Many of you have read this before, but it's a good story to repeat. And then we'll see how this continues afterwards. A good nun lived a very simple life, with very few possessions and dwelling in a cave. A real good nun, basically. Every morning, she would take her alms bowl to the nearby village to collect just enough food for her one meal of the day. She had plenty of time to meditate, study, and teach what she knew to any of the local villagers. When she returned from alms round one morning, she noticed a hole in her spare robe. So she found a small piece of cloth and hand sewed a patch onto the robe. She's done this before. You see, in her cave lived a family of mices, and they liked nibbling on her robes. While sewing, she saw that if she had a cat, then there would be no mice, and she wouldn't have to spend so much time sewing patches. So the next day, she asked the villagers for a cat when she was out on alms round. And the villagers, they gave her a well-behaved brown cat whose colors matched her robes. The cat needed milk and fish, so the nun had to ask the villager for extra items every morning on her alms round. And then one morning she thought that if she had her own cow, then she wouldn't need to keep asking for milk to feed the cat, to keep away the mice that chewed her robes. So she asked one of her wealthy supporters for a cow. Once the nun had a cow, she had to get grass for her cow to eat. So she begged the villagers for grass to feed the cow, to provide milk for the cat, to keep away the mice that had chewed her robes. After a few days, the nun thought that if she had her own field, she would not need to harass the poor villagers for grass every day. So she arranged for a collection. She arranged for a collection to be made to buy a nearby pasture, to provide grass for her cow, to provide milk for her cat, to keep away the mice that chewed her robes. It was a lot of work looking after the pasture, catching the cow every morning, milking it. So she thought that it would be helpful to have a boy, a young attendant who could do all these chores for her. In return, the nun would give him moral guidance and teachings. So the villagers, they selected a boy from a poor family in dire need for some moral guidance. Now, she had a boy to look after. She had a boy to look after her pasture, to provide grass for her cow, to provide milk for her cat, to keep away the mice that chewed on her robes. Now the nun needed to collect more than twice as much food every morning because young boys, they eat a lot. Moreover, she needed a small hut nearby for the boy to sleep in because it was against the rules for the boy to sleep in a cave with a nun. So she asked the villagers to build a hut for her boy, to look after the pasture, to provide grass for her cow, to provide milk for the cat, to keep away the mice that chewed her robes. By this time, she began to notice the villagers trying to avoid her. They were afraid that she was going to ask her for something more. Even when they saw a brown cow approaching in the distance, thinking it was a nun, they would run away and hide in their houses with the door securely bolted and the curtains drawn over the windows. And when a villager did come to ask her some questions on meditation, she said, "Sorry, not now. I'm busy. I have to check the hut being built for the boy who looks after the field, to grass my cow that provides milk to my brown cat that keeps away the mice so I don't need to keep patching my robe." And she finally noticed that what we were saying and realized that this is the origin of materialism. When she told the villagers to dismantle the hut, sent the boy back to his family, gave away the cow and the field, and found a good home for her cat. A few days later, she had returned to her simple life, with few possessions and dwelling in a cave. And after returning one morning from the village with just enough alms food for her one meal of the day, she noticed that the mouse had chewed another hole in her robe. And with a quiet smile, she sewed another patch in her robe. That's the story of the monk and lady, the nun. And for me, I have a hole in my robe. So I am a good monk. Just like the good nun. I have to put this back. I have to patch my robe. It's not. I'm actually breaking some rules, monk rules. You're not supposed to go around with kind of robes which have holes in them.
We'll give you a sewing machine. Then you can do sewing for other people.
Yeah. That actually, the reason why this story is kind of relevant for me now is that, you know, most of you or many of you know that we have up in the hillsides in Serpentine where the monastery is, we also have a really big meditation center which we call Jhana Grove. It's, somebody told me that it's the biggest hospitality complex in the Shire. There's 60 rooms, each with their own bath and showers and stuff. A huge kind of dining building and a really good big meditation hall, really modern and really good for meditation, good teachers. But we are also maintaining it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is where we get into all these problems with the cats and the cow and etc. And right now we have this problem with computers. And computers, I remember when I came here, and I was this postulant or this anagaric in the first year. The monastery had one computer, and that was only for the senior monks to use. The postulants, the young monks, they were not allowed to touch it. And then a few years after, a couple of years afterwards, we got another one, another computer that was for audio editing, so the monks can edit the abbot's talks. So then we have two computers. And then we built Jhana Grove, and then with two more offices there. And then there was one more computer in each room there, then with four computers. And now, to keep the whole system running, we have 15 computers. We have computers for video recording and audio recording, and we have offices for caretakers and for the monks and for the administrative monks and blah 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 blah. We have two or three computers in the library, and we have an office computer, and this is just getting growing and growing, getting more and more, and somebody has to maintain it. And we had this big discussion, which would be just how many computers can we chuck out? It's just, do we really need it? Can we be more simple? In the monastery, we still manage to keep it quite simple. We have one computer in the office, and then we have one or two in the library. But the Jhana Grove, the meditation center, just adds up a lot, and it's kind of needed. And it's basically the monks who are maintaining it and running it with the help from a couple of caretakers. So I have gotten that job to figure out what to do with these computers and whether we should buy a cow or a field and upgrade it more kind of servers and to keep. We're thinking of getting a server which can serve the computers, so the computers get updated, etc. So it's a bit like the story of this cat. And that's where this story came from me. It should get more and more complicated. Even monks who we honestly try to live simply. As monks, we live in this hut in the forest. And my hut, I've got six square meters as the hut, my hut. And there's no bathroom or toilet, no showers. No power, we only have some solar, a 12 volts battery, and we manage to keep it simple, but it's this constant pressure for more and more and more and more. We're trying to keep it simple, but it's a constant fight for keeping things simple, because it is so important to keep life simple, because if you can keep your life simple, your mind will also be simple, and that is an enormous boost for your meditation and for your peace and your happiness inside of you. If you're drowning and doing lots of stuff, and you're old, you have lots of stuff and you do lots of stuff, your mind gets very active and agitated, and lots of attachments. And then it's so difficult to meditate. And that is basically what, when I summarize those papers, which all the keywords, which like about 50 people wrote down 2 years ago, there were two words which stood out, and which makes perfectly sense why you're here. In addition to, there was a couple of people who talked something about health. Some people come here because they have some health problems, either kind of physically or mentally or both. But what more or less everybody in that little survey wrote was that they came here to find contentment and peace, which makes absolutely kind of sense. And that's also what we are trying to do full on, 100% as monks. And one of the most important things to gain that is to be able to live as simple as possible. just like the nun. Okay, we are 10 minutes over.
Just
10 minutes. Okay, cool. So I think we just what I'm going to do now, we can try to do a meditation session. I will try to guide you. I guess you normally turn down the light, don't you? Yeah.
Can you just explain very simply what meditation is for the beginners and how to do it first?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, just a few minutes. Meditation. Meditation is basically a way to find happiness. It's a happiness which is non-sensory. It's a happiness which everybody has inside them, which is independent on body and senses, and independent on where you are and what you do. It's a free pleasure which is available for everybody at any time when you want it, if you learn to pick it up or to use it. It is a pleasure or happiness or bliss or whatever who is pure mental and can grow if you do this properly. You do this thing we call meditation. Is a pleasure. The result of that is a pleasure which if you really do it well and learn this, will give you pleasure which is many, 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 many fold stronger and better than anything you can get from your senses, including kind of relationships and vacations and play and sport. It's it is basically the strongest pleasure a human being can get. And it's nothing to do with your body or your eyes or your skin or your nose or your eyes or whatever it is. And it's completely free and independent of your situation. It's a tool you can use at any time, anywhere, if you just know how to do it, where you can recharge your mind, find this peace and this contentment which everybody wrote 2 years ago, which grows and grows and grows and can give you states of rest, peace, bliss, and on deeper stages, if you really are able to do this really well, going into what the Buddha called for jhanas, is getting to levels of pleasure which is absolutely beyond your absolutely wildest imaginations. But that is the takes quite many years of practice to do. But the benefits is there just doing it a bit. And the more you do it, and the more skilled you are, the more benefits you will get out of it. And it's not easy, unfortunately. It is a training which takes many years. And I know, I've been here now for many years, and I met quite many people, talked to quite many people in this Buddhist society, and many of them have really, really good stuff going when it comes to meditation. They really know how to let go of the world around you, to be able to sit down somewhere and grow that peace and happiness which is available for you if you try to do that. So what I would try to do now is to do like a little guided meditation, something like half an hour or something. First I will try to guide you to put your focus on the body. We will sit down and close our eyes, turn down the light probably, and I'll try to give you some hints and take you on a short journey with your eyes closed, and I can try to guide you where to focus your mind. First, a little bit on the body, and then I will invite you to what I can today I can call inspiration for a while, and then we finish off with a third part. So maybe I don't know, something like 5 minutes or 10 minutes on the body. And we've done that, when everything is calmed down, your body is relaxed, etc. I will give you a little adventure you can do yourself in your mind. And then when we have done that for like 20 minutes or 25 minutes, I'll see whether there's something I wish you could can understand. And the only way I can make you understand is that you experience it yourself. So we can see whether we will get the result I'm looking for. Was that understandable? Mm-hmm. Or is it kind of too weird? Any kind of basic questions before we start? Basically, we just start very, very, very simple by finding a comfortable position where you're sitting, loosening up all your, if you have any tight belts or anything, try to put yourself in a maximum comfortable sitting position where there's no, and nothing is, there's no aches or pains in your body. You're not freezing, you're not too hot, the chair isn't too soft or too, I don't know, too hard. Maybe you can put some pillows, I see people putting some pillows under the feet, so that's probably a good idea. So you're tight, so isn't too, but whatever, try whatever you can to put yourself into a position where your body is as happy as possible. So you feel your body is relaxed. Maybe just like lying down in your bed at night, you can, when you lie down, there's nothing strangling or nothing pressing on your body. Try to find that. Try to sit somehow, play around a bit until you have a position, sitting position, which is as comfortable as it can. And then we normally close our eyes, and then I could try to do some guided meditation. So now it's 7:45. So we try to make this into half an hour. So that's like we will finish 7:15. I will keep a watch on the time, so you don't need to worry. This is your opportunity to be absolutely free. This is your opportunity to relax. You can let go of everything which has happened earlier on today, the last week, the last year, and there's no need to worry about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or next week or next year. This is 30 minutes of luxury for you, just being here, relaxed, free from everything. Just a human being, a simple human being, sitting here with no responsibilities for 30 minutes. There's no kids you're responsible for. There's no job you're responsible for in these 30 minutes. These 30 minutes is only for you and your mind and your body. where you can calm down whatever happening in your mind. And when your mind calms down, your body will calm down. And that's when healing happens. So please, just for those of you who want to now, if you want to, please close your eyes. I think most of you have done it already. And what I do recommend in the beginning, we can just together, if you want to, just follow me. But you take your attention, your mindfulness, your focus, instead of focusing on what is going on in your mind, all your thoughts and all your emotions, let that be and put your mind on your body. See whether you are able to feel your body. Not see or not kind of just see whether you can ignore all the movements in your mind. See if you in your inside of you, with your inner eyes, see whether you can feel the touch of the floor. Your feet is touching the floor. Can you feel that? There's a little pressure on your feet from the floor. Start there. See whether your feet and your toes are relaxed. Is there any tensions there? If there is any tension where we are going when we walk into the body, see whether you can be kind to that part of your body who aches or uncomfortable or unrelaxed or strained. And start with your toes. See where you can spread some goodwill through your body and your feet. The feet which are taking you from place to place to place in all your life. Your feet have been your slaves. See whether you can give your feet some relaxation and some gratitude for all the work your feet have done to you. It's okay to say thank you to your feet, your toes. Feel your legs. Are they relaxed? And up to your knees. If there are any pains or pressure or aches in your knees, give some goodwill to your knees. This is also upright for your knees and your feet. They can relax as well. And your thighs as well, resting on your chair. If there is anything there which feels wrong, anything which is painful, and try to spread some good emotions, good feelings to your thighs. Then you have your hips. Is there anything uncomfortable? Is it stressed? Is it tight? See whether you can relax your hips. Most of your weight is on the hips when you're sitting in a chair. Please just try to make your hips comfortable and at ease. See whether you can feel the touch of the chair on your bum, your thighs. You can actually feel that you're sitting in a chair. You're sitting in a chair and you can relax your body. And you can feel the weight of your body on the chair. Then feel your stomach. Look at your stomach with your inner eyes. See that your stomach is going in and out. Your stomach is breathing for you, just as the lungs. The muscles are moving to get oxygen into your body to keep you alive. Feel how nice and calm and untroubled the body is breathing in and out. The stomach slightly going out and then going a bit in as air is coming in and out of your mouth. Just feel your stomach, and if there's anything there in your stomach which is tight or uncomfortable, unhappy, and feel that and see whether you can spread some good energy to your stomach, so even your stomach can relax these 30 minutes. Your stomach is giving you all the nutrients you need to keep running and messing around in the world. If you give some focus and some attention and gratitude to your stomach, it will probably relax more. Further up to your body, you have your breast. And you have your lungs, and you have your heart inside. If there's anything in your upper body you can feel, which is which isn't comfortable, and see that now. And just with your mind, give your lungs and your heart, your physical heart, your mind's goodwill. Your heart has been pumping all your life, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, and every month, and every year, for your whole life. It's been pumping blood, keeping your body alive. Be kind to your heart. You can probably feel the lungs, the air going in and out. If there's anything you feel in your lungs which isn't right, and this is the time for you to see whether you can use your mind's energy to relax it, calm it down, and give it some rest. And then you have your shoulders. Are your shoulders relaxed? Or are your shoulders tense? If you're tense, then relax them now. Let your shoulders hang down. Really relax your shoulders. So there's no tension. There's no hardness. Just softness and comfort. Then you have your hands. You can probably feel them resting on your thighs, on your feet. Try to make them relax as well. Let them rest in your lap or on the chair. Let them really, really relax. They have been so busy working for you. Let them rest. Be at peace. Soft. Then it's your neck. Is your neck hard? Or is it soft? Is it tense? Or relaxed? Make it relaxed. Make it soft. See if you can feel your neck. Is it really relaxed? Can you relax it a bit more? Can there just be softness? Can your mind give your neck good energy? to your neck and relax as well for these 30 minutes. Then your face, with your eyes and your nose and your mouth and your teeth and your skin. Is it tense? Then purposely let it be allowed to be relaxed. Let there be no tension there. Everybody sitting here with their eyes closed, so you can let your mind, let your face be completely relaxed, and you can let your face do whatever it wants to do. When it's relaxing, whether your mouth is open or closed, see how far you can and let your face be soft. And relax. Then you have the rest of your head. Basically your brain. Probably the most active part of your whole body, which consumes 80% of the nutrients of the blood. See if you can allow your brain and all the activities in your brain to calm down. There is so much activities, so many neurons is firing inside there continuously. Let everything which goes on in your mind just fade away. Don't put any importance on what's going on in your mind, so your brain, even your brain, can have a rest. Less activity and peace. Give your whole body gratitude for being here for you. Give it some time to rest and recover, so the batteries of your body can recharge as much as possible. I'm going to give you now a little adventure, which is your adventure, which you have to create yourself. Now, when your body is as relaxed as it might be able to be in a busy life, and you put your some mindfulness on your body, and give it some rest. Take your mind now away from the body, and try to put it on something in your life. All of you are doing something good in life. It can be raising kids, helping kids, it can be work, it can be helping some friends, it could be a project you're doing for somebody else. See whether you're able to find something in your life now, which you are doing now in this life, which you know is good and wholesome and helpful. Something you are doing in your life. If you are a mother with a kid, it can be your kid, your baby, or your young boy. Or it can be some voluntary work you're doing. Whatever it is, pick one thing in your life you're doing which you know is good, which feels good, which is good, and which you are doing both for yourself but also for others. Please focus on that now for like 5 minutes. Try to visualize those things you're doing. See the faces of those people you're helping. When they're smiling because you have done something for them in your project in life. Deliberately play around in your mind for a while. Something you are doing for somebody else, which is good. Please keep your mind and play around in your mind for 5 minutes now with that activity you do in your life, which is good, and see the benefits of what you're doing. see if you can get energy flowing through your body. When you're focusing on something good you're doing in life. If you're able to focus on all the good things you do in life, there should be energy, you should feel energy flowing in your body. Energy you can feel. Energy that is healing your body. Energy which is relaxing your body, an energy which is calming down your mind, you like to now, the last few minutes of this meditation session, if you want to, try to put your attention, your mindfulness on the breath now. See whether it's easy or difficult to simply follow the breath. And nothing else in the whole world. For 5 minutes now, just breath, nothing else, if you can. I'm going to ring the bell 3 times now. And when after those 3, then we finish off and you can open your eyes. For many years in the monastery, coming from kind of a rational background, I have a business degree and a financial guy. That was my job before I came here, and used to, you know, hardcore numbers and business and money and actions and etc. And coming from that kind of environment and crashing into a monastery, that's a huge kind of difference. And that was one of my kind of problems with my mindset. I got in Norway for my childhood and education and the typical Western European background is that we are not good at focusing on good things in life and good things we're doing ourselves. We all do good things, and we're not good at least I was not. I think it's kind of the case for lots of what I call Westerners. We are not aware of the uplift the mind gets by focusing on something good. I tried kind of in this meditation here to give you like 5 minutes to look at something you do in your life which is good. Basically, I have one good word for that, which is inspiration. It's an inspiration, an uplift in your mind, and it has an enormous effect on your state of mind and what you will perceive as happiness. It's like you have, I don't know, 6 types of pleasures maybe in life. It's like you get pleasure from your body and from food and your mouth and seeing beautiful things and doing fun things with the body, etc. All the five senses. Those five senses give you pleasure, happiness. It does. But there is a sixth sense, which is purely mind. And that is something, at least me, I wasn't good at that. And I've had to learn to kind of deliberately develop that sixth type of happiness using meditation. The Buddha, he had this recommendations for all his monks what to focus on to give a mind a boost of energy, happiness, peace, and kind of tranquility. And one of the things the Buddha said was basically to focus on the Buddha called it for chaga anusati, and chaga means giving, anusati means contemplation, maybe focusing on. The Buddha was actually running around 2,500 years ago in India and telling his monks to focus on all the good things they have been doing, and that as they do as monks and what they did before. Because it has a tremendous effect on your mind. We are quite good at being fault finding, but we are not good at looking at the good things we do. And then we lose this inspiration, which we will perceive, or which we do perceive as happiness. And there's many things. One of the things is this, the Buddha called chaga anusati, giving. And there are many other things you can focus on, which have the same effect. And that has been kind of my story, to move away from this fault-finding, material, business mindset, to move the focus on my mind into something which is uplifting. And it's I don't know, it really works. We have this every year the monks have what we call a rain retreat, where all the monks are staying put in the monastery and nobody's traveling, and we just focus on ourselves. We don't go out teaching. We just stay in our hut in the forest alone for 3 months. We only meet once a day to get some food, and then we go back to our kutis, to our huts. And this is where we have lots of time to sit by ourselves, and we have to sit there and use lots of time on focusing on good things. If we, in seclusion, sit down and focus on negative things, which there are plenty of in the life, we will never have any good meditation. We will never be able to really, really, really calm down the whole system, calm down the body, and calm down the mind. So what we call meditation really can take off. For most human beings, I think, to be able to get the full benefit, or the full, call it pleasure and happiness for meditation, you probably have to go to a retreat. That's why the monks in Ajahn Brahm, the Vibhata Monastery, have built Jhana Grove. That's like an opportunity for anybody to come there and pretend to be a monk for 9 days. And give anybody who wants an opportunity to really work on your mind and figure out what makes you happy. Not sensory happy, but mentally happy. It's like this, there are happiness from your senses you're getting all the time, but behind all those pleasures, there is a mental pleasure. And that pleasure goes up and down all the time. So when you're depressed, you will feel that as negative. And if you're happy, you feel that as good. And that is something you deliberately can develop in your life, to keep that background, non-sensory happiness topped up all the time. And that's a training. It's a deliberate thing you have to do. I remember reading this book from our abbot's teacher in Thailand. He was called, he had the name Cha. He's a Thai. He was a Thai monk, Ajahn Chah. Ajahn means teacher, and his name was Cha. I don't know actually what that means. It probably means something. And he said that the nature of the human mind is like water. It has a tendency to kind of flow down as low as possible and stay there. And it is so true. So unless you deliberately are aware of this mental happiness you have inside of you all the time, and if you don't put any deliberate effort into developing that, and that's there for you, and you don't need to buy anything to get that, it's free. It's a training you can do anytime, anywhere. But it has to be done, and it's not easy. I probably was struggling for, I don't know, like 5 years or something. I thought that meditation was this mechanical thing. You sit down and you focus on your breath for hours after hours after hours, and then something was going to happen. Which didn't happen. I got some peace. I managed to kind of keep my thoughts kind of to a lower level. So my mind, my thinking and emotions wasn't that hard or busy or so much. And it was first when I deliberately started to develop inspiration. When you deliberately feed your mind with good, wholesome, call it things, and combine that with some like breath meditation or something like that, that's when your meditation really, really, really takes off. But you need that inspiration. And it is a good thing. It is something you can do anytime. At work, driving the car. But we forget. We're drowning in kind of in the mind, following thoughts and emotions and fear, worries, plans, whatever. And this training to deliberately learn to focus on good things in life, that is something I really kind of recommend. And I tried this kind of just superficially in this kind of 30 minutes of meditation. First, try to calm down your body a bit. That normally also calms down your mind a bit. And then see whether there's any effect on focusing on something good in life. That's what I tried to do.